I have a question for you this morning as we get started with this new series. Do you whistle while you're at work? Now, what I don't mean by that is actually whistling like they were doing up here. I don't even think I can do that, first of all. But do you find joy at work? Do you find purpose at work? Are you excited to go to work? I see a mixture of feelings right now in front of me. Maybe you're on the opposite side of that direction. You're not excited about going to work, which is normally on a Monday, but you have off tomorrow. Yay, okay. So, but maybe you're not excited about going to work. You're on the opposite side of that. When you wake up in the morning, you dread it. You dread going. It feels pointless. You're not excited about what you do. It feels like there's no purpose behind it. I don't know where you are on the spectrum. If you're all the way to waking up in the morning and just wishing that bed was life for the rest of your life, or if you're on the other side of the spectrum and you're excited to get up for work. I don't know where you're at, but what I want to tell you this morning is that no matter what you do, no matter if you're a teacher, if you work at a fast food joint, if you work at a car dealership, if you work as a hairstylist, if you work as an accountant, a banker, a pastor, a lawyer, I'm running out of ideas, okay, wherever you work, whatever jobs are represented out here this morning, I don't care where you work or what you do, but there's a purpose to it. Not just a purpose, but God has a purpose for it. See, as we get started with this series this morning, we're going to be talking about a lot of things over the next couple weeks, from how God grows us at work to how God wants to use us at work. But as we start this morning, we need to start with this truth, this idea, and that's that no matter what you do, God has a purpose for it. God has a purpose for your work. See, God has made us with a divine purpose. God has made us with a divine purpose. None of us are here by accident. We're not just a bunch of blips on a circular planet that we're here, okay? We're not just these little people here with no purpose and no intention. We were created for a reason. God made you for a reason. He placed you here for a reason. We all have a purpose. You're not an accident. You're here because of a God who has a reason for you being here. And the way our purpose lives out looks a little differently depending on who we are, and we're going to talk about that here this morning. But at the core of it, we all have the exact same divine purpose, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. To do that, though, we're going to have to go all the way back to the beginning of the story, back to Genesis chapter 1. Specifically verses 26 to 28, because it's in these verses we find some incredible information and incredible things that can change our lives. And so starting at verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now, if you're familiar with Genesis, we know that Genesis is all about the creation of basically everything that we know. The earth, the heavens, the sky, the water, the fish, even the animals you don't like, okay? It's all creation, okay? Creation, the creating of everything that we see. And what we just read here, right, is the account in that story of us being created. And the reason God created us, how God created us. And it's here that we find our purpose. Because just like an inventor creating something doesn't sit down the invention and say, figure out what it does. He explains what it does. He explains to us why he made it. God explains to us why he made us. See, he doesn't say, here, good luck. He says, here's why I made you. Here's your purpose. And this purpose breaks down into two parts as we look at these verses. The first is this. We are to be God's reflection on earth. We are to be God's reflection on earth. Right? It says over and over again that he made man and woman in his image. He made man in his image. meaning that he made us to reflect him. Just like when you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, no matter if it, you know, if you're like me, my beard's usually a little crazy and my hair is a little crazy when I look at myself, but it's an image of myself, okay? It's a reflection of myself. I see myself, and what it's saying here is that people and creation are supposed to see God through us. Now, how does that play out? Why does that matter for us? Well, to find that out, I figured we need to go back to another Disney movie, because why not? It's, you know, Disney Day. Okay, so check out this clip. So this is The Lion King, for those of you who don't know it, one of my personal favorites. It's better than Frozen. Don't argue with me. Okay, so, but there's a lot of good stuff in here. And if you know the story of The Lion King, you know that that's our main character, Simba. And in my argument for this movie, I think the whole core of this movie comes back to a lion's identity crisis. Okay, just stick with me. Okay, so, but this whole problem that he has is his dad dies, and it's a very sad moment, and if you were a kid watching it, you cried. I'm not afraid to admit it. But Simba goes off, and he has this adventure, right, with this warthog, and a meerkat is, well, you know, what most people do when they have a life-changing moment. So goes off and has this whole moment and super songs and all these types of stuff where they're just chilling and they're hanging out, and then Simba's friend from childhood happens to bump into him. And they're having fun until they get to the point of what Simba's supposed to do, his purpose. And she's frustrated with him because all he wants to do is hang out and do nothing, but he has a greater purpose. And so, and that brings us to the scene, right? Simba's trying to figure out who he is, and you know, what else do you do when you're in the jungle and you're confused? You go find a wise monkey and he explains life to you, okay? So he comes to this pond, right? And we see, he says, look into the pond, and he looks in and he just sees him. And what does this monkey say? Gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this from stage. What does this monkey say? He says, look closer. There's more there. And then he sees the reflection of his father. See, how this plays out for us, why understanding that we are meant to reflect God and that we're made in the image of God is so important for our purpose and finding joy and satisfaction in life, is that we need to understand that we are more than we think we are. Too often we just think we're another human being walking through life, forced to work and get things done and pay taxes and bills and all the other fun things that we get to do when we graduate high school, okay? All this type of stuff, right? That's just who we are, but we're more than that. You sitting here this morning are a human being created in the image of God with a grand purpose far bigger than just getting through life. That God made you to reflect who he is. See, this monkey is talking about how Simba reflects his father by the way he acts, and that his purpose is to be like his dad, to live like his dad was. His dad comes down on a cloud like all fathers do and says, remember who you are. Life point, remember who you are. You are the image of God. And so what that means is you have the capability to reflect the God of the universe to his creation, to the people around you. And that was what you were made to do, to reflect the character of God in everything that you do. That just like a painting, a portrait of someone points back to the person it was painted about, we are a portrait of God pointing back to the God of the universe, to his creation, to everyone around us. And that was why we were created. We are not just another mammal on this planet. We are special, designed by God for a specific purpose, and that was to reflect him to his creation, to the people around us. So in everything you do, you have this incredibly huge purpose, and that's to reflect who God is. And we sing that song, Holy Spirit, back there, that through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you are able to reflect God to other people in everything you do. That you're able to point people who are lost, who do not know God, to God by living like him, reflecting his love, his mercy, his justice, everything that he shows that we see in creation, we are called to reflect all of that. Guys, we don't just serve a God who sits up there. We serve a God who created systems to create our world, the physics that we live within. God made that. It's not something we just came up with. God made it. He created it. He formed the earth. He is a creative, working God who made things out of love to benefit his creation and to point everything back to the thing that matters the most, himself, because nothing is greater than God. And And we play a significant role in all of this because we are supposed to be images that reflect who God is and point back to him. So in everything we do, we have an incredible purpose because we are called to live like God. We are called to love the people around us like God loves us, completely self-sacrificially putting other people first the same way God has. We're called when we see injustice around us to despise that injustice and fight for justice around us, to help people, to care for people, to provide for people. We're called to reflect who God is in everything we do. When you wake up in the morning, that is what God wants you to do, no matter what your job is. That is at the essence of who we are. It is our identity. We are created by God to reflect God. I don't know about you, but that is huge. And that means we each have an incredible responsibility when we get up each day. Now, how does this play out? How do we reflect God? Well, this comes to the second part of our purpose and the thing that we see in verses 26 to 28. To reflect God, to reflect who he is, to reflect his character, we have to do something every day, and that's represent. So we're not just called to reflect, we're called to represent God by caring for and building upon his work. We're called to represent God. You know, as we look at this passage, right, it says we're made in the image of God, but as the verses progress, it says that we were made in the image of God so that we may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this passage as a kid, to me, this was like, I got a little confused here, and I was like, okay, so my job is to be a vet at all times. Okay, anybody, am I the only one who felt that way? No? Okay. Whatever. So this is how I felt as I read this passage. But there's so much more here. What Genesis is doing is it's not saying your sole role as a human is to care for animals, although we should take care of God's creation. It's saying that I am putting you in charge of all that I have created. I'm not saying that I'm going away and you're just taking it over. I'm saying that you are in charge of taking care of this creation, of building upon the work that I've given you, of taking care of the people around you, of being me to the people around you and to creation. You are to represent me to everything else. You're an extension of me. So this idea of representation should be something we're very familiar with because in our country, it's supposed to be within the DNA of our politics, right? We all have representatives that represent us in government and are supposed to represent our interests, right? That's what their job is to represent their constituents. I'm getting real political this morning, okay? So it's called to represent us and our interests, the people who voted them there. Now, some of you guys laugh, okay, because that we all know because of imperfect human beings, there's some of you guys that I see on Facebook post, obviously some of us feel that some of our representatives don't represent us well, okay? So, and why do we feel that way? Well, the reason we feel that way is because often as imperfect people are, although there are people there and there's good people and bad people, we feel that those who don't represent well are the ones who are representing themselves or the things that they're looking out for, right? Okay, and I'm not pointing to anybody and making bad comments, it's just the truth, right? We're all imperfect. And so there's people out there that don't represent well and we get frustrated with that because they're supposed to represent us in the interests of the people, but a lot of times, sometimes people represent their own interests. And so we get frustrated with this, but the thing is we do this all the time. We're just as guilty of this as anybody else. Because God made us to represent him. But how often do we get up in the morning and represent ourselves? How often do we walk out of bed and the first things that are important to us are how this day is gonna affect us or how we're gonna feel at work or how we can, you know, some of us, and we're all guilty of this getting up and it's just the day and we get up and we're going to get our paycheck. That's why we're going to work. We're going to make the money. Or we're going even just to our sole purpose in life is just to even provide for our family, which there's nothing wrong with that. But when that's our only purpose, we're missing out on something that God has for us. Because those things, they all play a factor into the purpose God has for us, but they're not the sole reason we need to get up in the morning. God's given us something even greater than that. Because God's the one who takes care of us. He promises to take care of us. He promises to take care of our families. And so he's saying, I'm gonna take care of these things and I have a big purpose for you that's even far bigger than that. It's not just representing yourself, representing what you want, It's representing what I want. It's representing what I have for you. It's representing what I have for this world. And that's that God is advancing his good throughout the world. And he's made a creation that he has an incredibly good plan for. That he has a purpose for. And we're his active hands and feet in that purpose. And that's what we're supposed to get up each day and go to. Listen, there's nothing wrong with some of the stuff that we want out of work. There's nothing wrong with wanting to get paid for work. Okay, I'm totally okay with that. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to provide for your family. We should want to. God calls us to do that. But if that's the only reasons we get up in the morning, if success is the only reason we get up in the morning, if money is the only reason we get up in the morning, eventually we're going to feel empty. Because deep inside, we were made for something bigger. We were made to be the hands and feet of the creator of the universe in his creation. We were made to be his representatives. And so what this means for us is when we get up each morning, we head off to work or we head off to school or we head off to wherever we're going, or for some of us who are stay-at-home parents, we work 24/7, okay? Like, I'm not a stay-at-home parent. I included myself in that. Let's just not correct. Okay, so, but we all have different efforts and jobs that we go off to in the morning. And what it means is that no matter what task sits behind us, our ultimate goal should be to go into it as a representative of God, advancing his good in this world, making the world a better place by existing and being like the God of the universe, being Jesus Christ to those around us. It means that in our jobs, we're striving not just to do our jobs, but to show the love of God while we do our jobs. It means when we go into the house, we're not just trying to parent our kids, but we're trying to reflect to them the God that loves them while we do it. We're showing them the mercy that God shows them. We're showing them the judgment that God shows them at specific times, okay? We're showing these things as we live our life. It means whether you're sitting at a desk or you're out working in a field or you're doing hard labor or you're building things or inventing things or whatever your job entails, you're teaching people, you're styling people's hair. I don't care what it is. No matter what it is, you are called to represent who God is while you do it. Now, how does this play out? How does this look? Where do we do this, right? So I've been alluding to this a little bit. Okay, but if we are called to reflect God and represent God, the God who is a creator, the God who shows mercy, the God who loves, who is just, who works, who builds things, who takes care of people, who provides for people. If we're called to do this, then where do we do this? Well, surprise, it's vacation. No, I'm just joking. That's not it. Okay, the series is called Off to Work, not Off to Vacation. So it's work, right? It's work. See, here's the thing, work is a venue to live out our divine purpose. Work is a venue to live out our divine purpose. And now, what I don't mean by work, don't take this way. I'm not only talking about the paid job that you go to. I'm talking about the things that we do in life, the work that we do. And yes, the job that you go to, for those who go to jobs, or if you're a stay-at-home parent, all that work that you do that we consider our work, our job, our vocation, that is a major venue in which you can live out God's purpose for your life. See, too often, I think we think work is this horrible, negative thing that we're not supposed to do. That, like, if God had it his way, we'd just be chilling next to this tree in the garden, and if nobody had eaten any, like, apples or things, or I think it's a dragon fruit. No, sorry. Sitting there, we would just be doing nothing. We'd be chilling on the beach. You know, that would be our life. But that's not how this worked. God created work. See, too often we see work as completely separate from our spiritual lives. We come over here to church, you know, maybe we go, you know, we help out at the kids' life, you know, maybe we help out at the youth. They're great. Okay, so maybe you help out different areas of the church, you go to your life group, you're over here. This is the spiritual life. This is where I experience God. This is what God cares about, right? Is right over here. This is my spiritual life. But then during the week, right, we either go to our work, maybe we're at home, we go to school, we come over here, and this is not the spiritual life. This is something completely separate. This is the thing I do so I can, you know, go on that vacation. Or so my kids can have their soccer cleats. Again, nothing wrong with these things, but this is the only way we view work. So many of us come over to work and we see it this way, that it's just this thing that we do and it has nothing to do with the spiritual stuff over there. Then we separate these two things. But that's not what God intended. Work is a very spiritual thing. He has a purpose for it. And it was not something that showed up after we sinned. We see that as we go to Genesis 2, verse 15. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.' The Lord God said, 'It is good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from a rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man." Now, we've jumped forward a little bit in Genesis here from Genesis 1. And because of that, as we see after Genesis 1 finishes up, there's this recount of God creating everything. He retells us all this stuff. And then we get to hear this passage. And what's God doing here? Well, he's taking the man, he's taking us, he's taking Adam and creating Eve, and he's taking them and he's putting them to the job of what he made them to do. And you notice what he does. He puts them to work. He says, "I put them in the garden to work it and care for it." So the interesting thing about this word "work" that's used here is it's so broad. Here specifically, it talks about toil and labor and working hard. But as we look at the scripture and it broadens out, we start to see that God's idea of work is so much bigger. It's this idea of hard labor, of doing something, but also of mental stuff too. You even see that in the way Adam does things, right? He's called to take care of the garden, but then also he's doing work with his brain. He's naming animals. And he came up with great things like hippopotamus. Okay, like he's naming things. He's ordering the animals. God could have done this. It's not like God's like, "Adam, bro, I have no idea what to name this animal. I made him way too fat. Okay, I need you to name this." Okay, that's not what's happening here. He's taking the person who's called to reflect him and putting him to the purpose and the job that he tasked him with by creating him. Right, it's this broad idea of doing something. Work is doing something. And not only that, but as we look at the word being used here, it's very interesting that the other way it's being used in scripture a lot is the idea of service to someone. So work for scripture is doing something in service to someone, specifically doing something in service to God. Now, what I'm not saying is that this means that, okay, now all of us need to, you know, you all need to start working on the pastoral staff at LifePoint, okay? That's not what this means. It means that everything that we do, all the work, all the ideas, all the things that you do, your job, whether you're a doctor or you're working at Five Guys making those fries I incredibly love, okay? Or you're a teacher, or you're a lawyer, or you're a stay-at-home parent, or whatever job that you do, it means that it is something you can do for God. That God has placed you there for a reason so that you can serve him. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love spy movies, and I used to love trying to be a spy, okay? Because, you know, I had a lot of time on my hands during the summer, so I wanted to be a spy. My friend and I used to like hide in bushes with binoculars, spying on people, not in their windows, okay? Get that out of your head, okay? They were outside. There were some neighbor guys that were older than us. We thought they were gonna blow up the world. It was serious, okay? But we used to love the spy movies and trying to pretend to be like spies, because I used to love the idea of being an agent or a spy. Because their job was that they were sent out by their country or whatever they were, and their job was to make the world a better place. At least the spy movies I was allowed to watch in elementary school. Okay, so they were trying to make the world a better place. I loved James Bond. He was awesome. And this was an agent. This is what they were trying to do. They were sent somewhere by their country on a mission, on a purpose, to make a better place, to protect the people that were back home, to do all this type of stuff. And I wanted to be that as a kid. Here's the thing though, we are all agents of God. See, this place, this work, it's not some far off place that God has no purpose for. It's not something that God's like, here, you take care of this, and then you can do my work when you show up to church. No, God is sending you to where you are for a reason, because you're an agent on his behalf. You are doing something for him. No job is just a job. It is your calling. It is a place that God has put you there. And he has a reason for you being there. And it's not just to tell your coworkers about Jesus, although that is a part of what we do. And Glenn's going to talk about that more later in this series. But it's about how you work. It's about what you do. It's about what you create in the way that you do it, or the things that you do in the way that you do it. God wants you there, and you're an extension of who he is. You're working in food service. You're not just some food service person. You are God's agent for service and love and provision to the people around you. It really can be that. It can be more than a job. It can be affecting someone's life as they walk up to get that food. You're not just a farmer. You're an agent of God's provision to his creation and the people around him. You're taking care of his animals. You're preparing them for what they were meant to be, and that is bacon. Okay, that is, you are doing this, okay? You are an agent for God. You're a lawyer. You're not just somebody in the cog in the system. You're a lawyer. You're an agent for justice. God loves justice. He does not want to see people oppressed. He does not want to see false things happening. God wants to see justice, and you're his agent for his love, his mercy, and his justice on creation. No job is just a job. This applies to everything, guys, no matter what you're doing. You're a teacher. You're not just a teacher. You're an agent for God's wisdom, being imparted in his mercy and his love to the people, the students that you work with, even when they drive you insane. Because if you do it living like God, you can change a life. You can show people the creator that made them so they can come to know him through your work. And you make their life better. Even, you know, I have love for so many jobs. Even the IT guys in the room this morning, okay? It's not just an IT job. You're reflecting the character of God, the way that you do things. Guys, listen to this. God didn't just create things and sits by and does nothing. God created things, maintains his earth, maintains his creation, and he asks us to be the same way. He asks us to create, to invent, to make things in his name, and then make sure that those things work properly. And computer guys, you do that so much, and you're my favorite, okay? Because my computer explodes so many times, okay? So you're doing that. You can reflect the character of God when you're helping people maintain a creation that we have made. And you can help people use it in a way that glorifies God. So because I'm just not pulling things out of my hat so you feel like God is using your work. This is really true. We can see it left or right. Scripture wants, God wants to use you in your work, and Scripture speaks to that. If we look at 1 Corinthians verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 17, it says this: "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them. Just as God has called them, this is the rule I lay down in all the churches." See, so often I've had conversations with people, and I never really experienced it until I became a pastor working at a church, and, you know, side comments from people just being like, "Well, you do God's work," as if like something they do has nothing to do with what God's doing. But right here, it says the Lord assigned to them. See, guys, what God has put you, where he has put you, your job, no matter where you are, God has assigned you there for a reason. He wants you to make that workplace a better place. He wants you to contribute to making things and sustaining things that make his creation an incredible place to live, a place that we can enjoy. You know, he loves the people that are doing stuff like this just as much as he loves the people that are building things and maintaining things, and he loves the people making food. He loves all of that. He loves every job, and he has a reason for all of it. It's not like God sat back and was like, "Whoa, I didn't see any of these things coming. I thought everybody was just going to be a pastor." That's not what God did. He had a plan for all of these jobs, all of these things that you're doing as you walk out. I was saying Monday during first service, but most of you have off. So on Tuesday, everything you walk out to do, God has a reason for it, and he's placed you there for a reason. Work is not a separate place from what God is doing. God has placed you in this job for a reason so you can make a difference and do that job well. God cares about all of that, and he wants to use you there. You know, a great example for me has been in my family of this situation. My father has been a great example for me of this. You know, my dad works in a place that most people would think is godless, a dealership selling cars. So, my dad got into this place in Lebanon a while ago. And one thing my dad has always tried to do as he goes off to work, especially in the last decade or so, as God's really been working in him, is that he tries to go there and do his job well and live like Christ. Treat employees like Christ, treat people like Christ. They try to create a business that in an area that could be very shady, that is not that way. Not just because they want to sell cars, but because they want to impact people. There's a lot of other people in that job that are believers as well. You know, and it doesn't mean that he's lovey-dovey to everyone. Okay, my wife works there, just ask her. Okay, so there are some that are terrified of him, as they should be. He's their boss, okay? So, but he treats them with respect and works with integrity. And he does the job the best he can. He works and he does it well. But he doesn't do it just to get by. He does it because he's trying to glorify God in what he does. He's trying to point people to God, and he's trying to be like Jesus while he does it. He views that dealership just as much as his calling as what he does on a Sunday morning at church. And whatever you're doing, whatever you're working, whatever job you have, whether you're at home, you're at a school, you're serving food, you're a doctor, whatever you're doing, God has a purpose for you there. And we live that out by working that job well. We do it to the best of our ability, and we do it with integrity. We don't cut corners just to get by, and we do it not focused on making all the money that we can. Yes, if you get a promotion, it doesn't mean that because you're serving Jesus, you'd be like, I'm not worried about money. You keep that promotion. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. Okay, but what I'm saying is that our main purpose each day is not to strive for those things. It's to strive to be like Jesus Christ in the workplace that we were at and to do our job well so that the people around us benefit from it. It's that we don't work for ourselves. We work for God and the people around us. And that hopefully after each day of work, that workplace is a better place because you were there. The place around you, what your work does, has made the place a better place because you're there. Because we are charged with working and taking care of the creation that's around us. And caring for it the way God cares for us. And so I don't care what job you're in. I don't care what work you're doing. God has a purpose for it. He has a plan for it. So on Tuesday morning when you walk in, or if you have to work tomorrow, when you walk in tomorrow, walk into work and just focus on doing it well for God and treating the people around you like Jesus. Loving them how God loves them. Striving to make something good come out of your work, something that God is proud of. Making a difference, advancing God's mission in your work. You are called to be more than just someone who works, another cog in the system. You are a human being made in the image of God who can make a difference because God works through you where you are at. And that's why God wants you where you are. So I don't know where you're going this week. I don't know. I know some of you guys' jobs. I know some of where you guys work. Some of you guys I don't know. And so I have no idea where you're going. I don't know what you're doing, but I encourage you today, whether it's tomorrow that you're heading into work or it's Tuesday or you got the whole week off magically, I don't know, wherever you're going to work, don't dread it. Don't think it's purposeless, because that's a lie. Don't think it's pointless. There is a purpose to what you're doing. Be excited, because whatever you're going to, it may be hard, it may drive you crazy sometimes, but if you live like Christ while you're doing it, if you do it well, God will use that to make a difference. You are making a difference where you are if you're living like Christ and you're working like you're working for God. You have a purpose. So yes, I believe that every single one of you can whistle at work, whether you have whistling skills or not. I believe we should all be excited because whatever job we're doing, it's not just a job. Whatever work we're doing, it's not just work. You're doing the work of God. So go out and do it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for just this group of people again and our chance to be together. I thank you that you are a God who loves us, who wants to use us, who wants to make a difference through us, and that you haven't made us with no purpose, but you've made us with the purpose of making a difference in your name. And so I just pray that you help each one of us. Help each one of us to make a difference in whatever job we're in this week. Father, whatever thing that people are going to Monday or Tuesday, just I pray that you just use them, give them whatever they need. Father, just give us the strength to persevere when jobs are difficult. Give us the energy to make a difference even when it feels like we're not doing anything. Father, just help us to use our time at our jobs to make a difference in your name, to be you to the people around us. Just give everybody here whatever they need this week to live like you and make a difference. Praise your son's name. Amen.